Paragimel. Okay, now we're into Paragimel itself. The second half of that opening sentence, we saw the first half of the opening sentence, but look at the second half. Udvar Hashem haya yakar bayamim hahem. God's word was rare in those days. Ein chazon nifratz. Chazon, vision, prophecy, is not nifratz. It's not widespread. We did have the Ish Elokim. We had the Ish Elokim, but it's not widespread. What is the point of that statement?
Yeah, I said it's
rare.
Wouldn't it be precious? I mean, your car is awesome.
So the words are connected.
Yeah. I think it kind of prefaces, look, I mean, what's going to happen next? Why Shmuel didn't, you know, why he didn't realize what was happening to him.
Right. So one approach you could give is that this is simply a story. It's explaining the story. Why does Shmuel not know? Because what's going to happen in the next chapter is that, as we're about to read, that the word of God comes to Shmuel and he has no idea that it's a prophecy. He doesn't know. Hashem calls him and he thinks it's Eli calling him. So it could be because who would have ever thought it was a nevuah? Like if someone today, right, sitting in his house heard somebody call their name, they wouldn't assume that it was nevuah. Odds are they would assume it was another person. B, technology, right? And C, there's something wrong with me. Prophecy is going to be the last choice. So the idea that it's Hashem is unusual, and therefore Shmuel doesn't think of it. That's one simple, straightforward explanation. However, the Medrash reads it differently.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Annette.
Is there something ironic in the fact that Eli is in a position of locus parenti? He's in a position where he is the father figure to Shmuel, and Shmuel follows the ways of, and yet his own sons don't. And so why is that? Like, because he was almost a parent to three children, three men.
Right. So I think before you joined, I think we noted that that this could be read in a couple of different ways. Right? One way you could read this is to say that it demonstrates just how much of parenting isn't actually about the parent. You know, they go one way and Shmuel goes the other way. And not only that, we added to that, Shmuel is taken away from his biological parents, and yet he comes out great. Chavi and Pinchas have their biological parents and yet are a disaster. So that was one approach we read from Rabbi Moshe Alshich, who talked about that as well. The other way we took it, though, was there was a pasuk that specifically said it talked about Chafni and Pinchas as Bnei Eli, right? And we said they are the sons of Eli, and yet they're so corrupt. And we took it as a slam on them. Effectively, Shmuel managed to learn from your father and did well. Why couldn't you guys do the same? So there are a couple of ways to take it, but it's absolutely, I think, one of the messages that's going on in the early going here.
Yeah. It's a nature nurture.
Can be.
There's many families. There's several kids, and one of them goes bad. And
absolutely true. Absolutely true. We've gone around what you can draw on parenting from this, and the answer basically is whatever you want. But another way to look at the absence of prophecy here is it's a statement of blame. There's actually something wrong. Take a look at source number 8 on your sheet. This is where I stopped translating, figuring I'm just going to translate it as we go along, and this way it'll all fit on one page, because I didn't know how far we would get in general. So the pasuk says, this is a comment on v'nefesh remiyat tirav, which I believe is mishlei, that the one who is cunning, will go hungry. Al shahayu meramin laKadosh Baruch Hu mehem ovdei avodas kochavim lekacher even haKadosh Baruch Hu meruach haKodesh, because they, and it's talking about the people of the period of the Shoftim, deceived God. Some of them worshiping idols. Doesn't mean literally deceived God, because you can't deceive God, not in this Tanakh. But the idea is that they present one face and they do something else. They present themselves as people of God, but in fact they are idolatrous. So Hashem says, in that case, I am going to withdraw Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to withdraw prophecy. And he quotes our pasuk, Dvar Hashem HaYayakar Bayim Ahim. God's word was rare. Because the people worshipped idols, therefore, oh, I have it in my notes, actually, it is Mishlei. Because the people worshipped idols in the period of the Shoftim, right? We saw that at the end of Sefer Shoftim, although, again, that wasn't necessarily the end of that era, but it was the end of the book. Hashem says, I'm withdrawing Nevuah. Now, once you say that, you could also suggest that it's because of Chofni and Pinchas, that there's no Nevuah. The leaders are bad, they're corrupt, so therefore there's no Nevuah. And in fact, we're going to see that because we're about to mention that Eli is blind.
What?
And Radak is going to say that blindness doesn't mean physical blindness, but it means lack of prophecy because, again, of what's going on with his
That's
kids.
That's why maybe the Ishael Kim has to come, because why can't Eli know himself?
Right, we're going to talk about the Ishael Kim and how that fits as well. Yes, Ricky.
Adonai, that would be the prophecies.
Correct. You got it. So there is no Nevuah, there is no prophecy here. And that sets us up for one of the key elements to look at in this perek, because the part we're going to see now is that Shmuel is given a message for Eli. And that triggers the obvious question, which is, why doesn't the message go straight to Eli? Or why isn't it enough to have the Ish Elokim, who we saw in the second parak? And if you need another message, send the Ish Elokim back. Why is Shmuel involved in communicating this message to Eli? That's number one. Number two, why do you need a second message? It's going to say a lot of the same stuff from the first. It's going to be, your kids are bad, you didn't do enough about it, and your household is cursed. I knew that. But I knew that already. You didn't add anything. And then the other thing we're going to have to look at is, how is Eli going to respond to this message? What is going to be his response to hearing this? We didn't get a response the first time. Right? The message came from the Ish Elokim, and the story simply stopped there. We don't know anything. How is he going to respond to this added message? So let's take a look. We're going to read through Psukim Bet through Yud. Sentences 2 through 10. Vayihi bayom hahu. And it was on that day. Ve'eli shochev bimakomo. Eli is lying down in his place. His eyes are starting to dim. He can't see.
Cataracts.
Maybe. you'll see. This is how one of the things we're going to have to discuss is this blindness and what it's mentioned for. V'ner Elokim terem yichbe, the lamp of God, which we assume is the
ner tamid.
There is no ner tamid. What's a ner tamid? Right. No, but what ner tamid? They don't have a ner tamid.
It's
the menorah, right? The menorah is the ner tamid. The Torah says lahalot ner tamid. It is the, so to speak, eternal flame, and it burns all night in the Mishkan. And so what we're saying is, that flame, the menorah, has not yet gone out. Meaning, you're somewhere towards the end of the night because you're thinking it's going to go out soon, but it hasn't gone out yet.
Isn't it supposed to go continuous? Why would it go out?
So no, it's only supposed to be through the night. It happens to be that there was a miracle regularly associated with the menorah that one of them would burn through. But there's a lot. It's not so clear in terms of what burned through and how long and when the Kohanim cleaned it. There's a discussion in the Gemara and Yuma about how exactly this worked. But the bottom line is that what the menorah is supposed to do is burn through the night. Me'er avad boker. So we're told that it's towards the end of the night. That's what it sounds like. Ushmuel shochev beheichal Hashem asher sham Aron Elokim. And Shmuel is lying down in the heichal of God, the sanctuary of God, where the ark is, where the Aron is. So that's going to be one question, is where exactly is it that that Shmuel is lying down? Sorry? Well, we're going to need to figure this out, where Shmuel is lying down. Right now it just says the sanctuary of God where the Aron is. We're going to come back to it. Vayikra Hashem al Shmuel. God calls to Shmuel. Vayomer hineni. And Shmuel says, here I am. Vayaratz el Eli. And he goes running to Eli. Vayomer, and he says, hineni, here I am, ki karasli, Ki karasali, because you called me. Vayomer lo karasi, shuv shchav. He said, I didn't call you, go lie down. Vayelech vayishkav. I got a couple hours to go here. Vayelech vayishkav. And so he says, okay, he goes back, lies down. Vayosef Hashem kiro od Shmuel. And Hashem calls Shmuel again. Vayakam Shmuel, and Shmuel gets up. Vayelech el Eli. He's not running this time, right? Vayelech el Eli. Vayomer hinani. He said, here I am. Ki karasali, because you called me. Right? In the beginning of the sentence, you could read that as Hashem called to Shmuel, or Hashem called Shmuel, but either way, he says, you called me. Vayomer lo karasi v'ni shuv shechav. And he says, I didn't call you, my son. Go lie down. It's nice. He says, b'ni this time. Ushmuel terem yadas Hashem. Shmuel does not know God yet, meaning he has never had prophecy before. V'terem yigolei loved v'ar Hashem. The word of God had never been revealed to him. Vayosef Hashem kiro Shmuel bashlishis, and once again Hashem calls Shmuel, or Hashem called out the word Shmuel. Vayakam vayelech el Eli, and he goes to Eli. Vayomer hineni ki karasali, he says, here I am, you called me. Vayiven Eli ki Hashem kare lanoar, and Eli figures it out. He says, this must be God calling the youth. Vayomer Eli lishmuel lech shechav, he says, go lie down. And if he calls you again, you should say, Daber Hashem, speak, God, because your servant is listening. When Shmuel goes back and lies down, and Hashem comes there, and he stands, so to speak, there. Vayikra kifam b'fam Shmuel Shmuel, and once again he calls Shmuel Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel daber ki shomea avdecha, and Shmuel says, speak, because your servant is listening. I saw one commentator, I don't remember which one, who said that in saying daber instead of daber Hashem was more respectful. Saying speak God is somehow less respectful. I'm not really clear on why that would be, but that was what one of the commentators suggested.
Couldn't it be
Right. I would be more inclined to think, maybe I'm not really sure that this is really the case. Yeah. But what questions are raised here by this passage?
Where are they in relationship to each other? Because if Shmuel's hearing Eli call him,
he thinks he's hearing Eli call him.
He thinks he's, so is he also like...
He must be nearby.
Right. Does he also sleep in, close proximity?
I mean, one was described as being in his place, right? Eli was in his place, and Shmuel is in the Heichal. So when there's a room here, when there's a room there.
Right.
Eli's chair was at the entrance to the Heichal.
Right.
So much detail. Why go into this?
Yeah, this is a very dramatic story here. Why are we playing out this whole saga? You could have just said, Hashem called to him and he talked to him, or you could have said, Hashem called. Yeah, you didn't need all of this length.
Well, it shows that he's so humble that he doesn't expect Hashem to.
Yes, but he's little.
Is that humility or is that reality?
What?
He seems
little.
Also, I was going to say, Eli was old for a while now. Did he just start going blind right this minute? He's lying down, and now it says, was he not...
Right, so it's unclear. We're going to see two different views.
Well, I had to figure out what was going
on. We're
going to
see two different views regarding whether Eli has been blind for a long time, or whether this is, in fact, something new. The text says he was beginning. His eyes were beginning to dim, suggesting that this is something new. But we'll have to see.
Important to the story anyways, right?
Right. So why are we mentioning Eli's blindness? And the question from before, why are we sending it from Shmuel? Sorry?
Didn't we say earlier?
No, we said he was old.
His sons?
No, we said he was old. We didn't have blindness yet. This is the first time. Yeah.
So, yes, like,
Rick, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to this side also. I realize I'm having trouble seeing to my right also. I naturally go to the left. I don't know what the story is.
Is that figuratively or?
Right. So we'll talk about the word Vayit Yatzav, that God is standing there. What exactly does that mean? Though you may remember in Shoftim we had an angel who was described as sitting, waiting for Gidon. It means waiting, presumably, but we'll have to see what the standing thing means. Linda?
If you were talking about the idea of Eli being blind having to do with the Nevoah, then maybe what it's trying to show us is that the Nevoah is passing from Eli to Shmuel.
Right. If I adopt Radak's view that blindness is not literal, the eyes being weak is not literal, but rather it's about prophecy, then yes, we're playing out the story demonstrating that Shmuel is taking over.
But it's
this
very
is the
normal.
Passing. of the...
They're normal for eyes to...
Correct.
And when, and
correct. No,
just ask me.
The question, though, is, again, why are you telling the story? And that may be.
It's
may
also,
be an
I mean, this is, like, really important. Shmuel is going to be the one who's going to anoint the king.
Right.
So it wants to be made clear to everyone that he's the right person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Although, this is a private story. I mean, to us it's not. But they're the only two people who are present, Eli and Shmuel.
How old is Shmuel?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I feel like Eli seems nurturing here, and it seems like he's such a nice guy. He doesn't know what's going to come from this Nebula that he's turning into his
right.
wife.
Right. Imagine when he gets the message. So,
when you say you don't know how old he was, wasn't this soon after he'd been brought to...
We don't have any indication. We don't have any indication. The only thing that we know at all is that Eli is 98 when he dies. That's all we got. And we know that he was a shofet for 40 years. And he was a shofet before this story took place. But really, this could be anywhere. This really could be anywhere. There are midrashim that try to come up with ways to look at this. So we talked about this a while back when we said that there was a midrash that suggested that the day that Chana came to Davin was the day that he became a shofet. That Eli became a shofet. He was 58 back then. And that had to be a minimum of 3 years before this story now. Because that was a year before Shmuel was born, and then he's weaned, and generally in Tanakh, you assume weaning is 2 or 3 years old. So there's a minimum of 3 years since then, but there's an awful lot that we're still missing.
Is he called old right at the beginning of the story at 58?
That would... I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
I think
that
was so...
Old.
So then
there were several years between the time that Hannah happened.
Oh, yes.
Born,
oh, yes.
And that this happened.
Yes, we just don't know how
much. He wasn't a little boy.
We don't know.
I always thought that he was like a three-year-old.
Right. So I see no reason to assume he's three. But we don't have enough information. Okay, sorry, not the first time. You know what? Yishmael's 17 when he's kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
He's not a little kid either. But go back to the beginning of this, because I was a little surprised no one asked this question. In Pasuk Bet, Vayi Bayom Hahu, and it was on that day. What day? What day? The preceding sentence said that there's no nevuah and Shmuel is serving God, and it was on that day. Yeah.
It's a figure of speech.
So Abarbanel is in source number 9. Abarbanel offers an answer. He says, "Rotzelomar," meaning, "Hinei haisa od siba shenit mitzad Eli." There was another reason why, a second reason why Eli did not understand that this was in fact prophetic, this voice that was calling out. Because it was on that day, when in the previous chapter, the prophet came to Eli to speak to him. How could Eli think? Sorry, we just saw the second line in source number 9. Eich yiten levavo shebayom hahu sheba lo hanevuah ba'oso yom tavo al ze lishmuel nevuah acheres. How could it be that he would think that the same day when he had a prophecy already come to him from the Ish Elokim, that now there's going to be a prophecy to Shmuel? There is no nevuah going on at this point, and suddenly there are going to be two in the same day. It's the last thing Eli would have expected. Is that the same day there should be, but that's by Yom Hahu, on that day. Hine Babur Shayaboso Yom Lo Hirgish Eli Badavar. And that's why Eli doesn't realize that this is a nevuah. He doesn't expect two messages in the same day.
He's also a little bit stomped, he's a little bit in shock, I think, after, probably not thinking clearly after.
That could certainly be. That could certainly be. So Eli is lying down when this happens, and he is blind, and we are spelling out the blindness. So here we need to take a few minutes. What is blindness in Chumash? What is blindness? Inability to see is true, but what do you mean?
This week's parsha, blindness.
That's right. In this week's parasha, Yitzchak is blind. Right? Is there a message ever in blindness in the Chumash?
Yeah, that's spiritual blindness.
Can be, but it's often physical, like with Yitzchak. In the Torah, blindness is often Hashem's deed. Do you remember in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, when Moshe says to God that he can't be the one to carry God's message because he doesn't speak well, right? And Hashem says to Moshe, you know that's in my department, right? You know I can take care of that. And he says, Mi yasum ilem, o cheresh, o pikeach, o iver. One of the things he says is, who is it who determines who can see and who can't see? That's me, God says. In other words, and it's a very dangerous thing to say, and I want to be really careful about how I say it. In the context of Chumash, if somebody can't see, sometimes that's an act of God. Not always, and certainly not beyond Chumash, that we're going to start extrapolating. But we see it in the Chumash. We already saw it with one story before this week's Parsha, right? Well, who was blind before you ever got to this week's Parsha?
With Nimrod.
No, before you ever got to this week's Parsha.
Lot.
Sodom, the people of Sodom. They attack the house. He kumba san verim. Hashem struck them with san verim, and suddenly they can't find the door. Right? Hashem blinds them. It's meant to thwart them. And then you have Yitzchak. And Yitzchak's blindness is construed different ways in different midrashim. So take a look, please, at source number 10. This is one medrash about Yitzchak's blindness. Vatichena einav meraos. The pasuk says that his eyes were dimmed such that he could not see. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, meraos bira. God wanted him to be unable to see bad things. What do you mean? Meraos bira, so shall Rasha, the wickedness of the wicked one, meaning his son Esav. Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, yeah, Yitzchak yotzei l'shuk. Yitzchak's going to go out of the market. V'yahon b'riyasa amrin, and people are going to say, Dein avua dehahu rishia, this is the father of that wicked one. Ela harini mach he'es einav, hu yoshe b'soch b'so, I will dim his eyes and so he'll stay home. Mikan Amruin, based on this, they said, Kol Hamamid ben Rasha, O Talmud Rasha, Sof Sheinav Kehot. So therefore they said that someone who sets up a son or child who is wicked, his eyes will dim. And they give you a basis for the student who is wicked from the story of Achia Shiloni, who has a student, Yeravam ben Nevat, who is wicked, and the son who is wicked is Yitzchak with Esav. So according to this Medrash, Hashem blinds Yitzchak as an act of chesed, as an act of kindness, whether so that he shouldn't see what happens or so that he shouldn't interact with others and be humiliated. Those are the two elements which are both seen here. There's a Medrash Tanchuma which supports the idea that it's to keep him from seeing what Esav was doing. Of course, you realize the odd piece of that. That now means that Yitzchak is not to blame for the fact that he has no idea of how bad Esav is. Of course he wants to give Esav the bracha. He doesn't know any different. Hashem kept him from seeing what Esav was doing. It raises all sorts of other interesting questions. But his eyes are dimmed, he cannot see, and it's actually an act of chesed to him. On the other hand, take a look at source number 11. Source number 11 blends together the story of Eli with the story of Yitzchak. Ve'eli zaken me'od. Eli is very old. Shlosha hizkinu b'mehera mipnei ra'az b'neihem. Three people in Tanakh age early because of the wickedness of their sons. Yitzchak tchila b'bnei tzarosav shel Esav b'no. Yitzchak first because of Esav. Shai mishtacha v'lavodas elilim, because he bowed to idolatry. He burned incense to it, and the smoke would rise. And we talk kahu einav shel Yitzchak, and that's why his eyes were dimmed. It was the smoke. And that's why it says that he became old and that his eyes were dimmed.
So that he wouldn't see Esav was because of Esav.
It was because of Esav, correct. The